How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. I got another informal episode. I'm having some coffee, and I figured I would teach you all something. Through total transparency, I've shown you that I have a very unique characteristic about myself. Some people mistake it as me being totally devoid of all emotion, and that's not true. I am very accepting of reality. I don't get worked up. It's not really anger. I'm an intense person, but I'm very hard. Some people would say strong, but I'm very hard. And today I'm going to teach you emotional strength. Not being a big meanie, but emotional strength. The type of bulletproof, just unshakable, relenting, intense confidence that you can take on anything, and there's no fear. And I'm going to prove to you that you've done it before in your life, and I'm going to point it out to you, and I'm going to show you that there are certain things that you have going for you that maybe you haven't thought of. And before I start, I want to tell you that you can go and read books by Tony Robbins and Ray Dalio and Claude M. Bristol and a lot of other places. Those of you that are familiar with that work and you haven't just skimmed it, you've actually really studied it, you're going to be fairly familiar with some of the things that I talk about. But I'm also going to show you some new things, some things that I can relate to directly. Okay? So, what exactly is emotional strength? Some people think that it's being overly hardcore, like that guy who's slamming the weights in the gym and throwing the dumbbells in the floor and lifting too much weight and just this excess intensity that doesn't really produce any results. It's just for show. Some people think that it's being the tough guy. It's a UFC fighter, that kind of mentality. They think it's being a tough guy. You could whip everybody's ass. I think that it's when times get hard, you're not scared. You are in control of the situation. It doesn't matter what happens. The government makes a new tax law. You're in control of the situation. You're on top of it. You find out some bad news. It doesn't tear you up. You're not shocked. You're in control of the situation. You know what to do. What's the first thing you learn in the event of an emergency? Something terrible happens. Stay calm. Your ability to stay calm and control this irrational situation when everybody else has allowed their emotions to take over and people are doing really stupid things, things that are going to bite them later on. You are not one of those people. You're one of the few. You're that one person who stayed calm and was able to handle the situation. You knew what to do. Where does this kind of strength come from? How can we tap into that? Because I promise you do have it. You already have the ability to do that. And I can show you other ways. I could use comparable situations because this is how we learn. When we talk about a new concept that maybe we struggle to understand, our mind wants to look for something that we can compare it to. Oh, that's sort of like in blackjack when you do that. Exactly. So the only way that I can think of it is back when you were in school, maybe. There were some kids who were really, really nervous. There was a lot of anxiety. They're bouncing their foot, tapping their desk, just nervous, shaking, whatever, you know, because this test is very hard, and they don't know if they're going to be able to pass it or not. And they're in a very emotional state, and that anxiety is definitely not helping. And then there were some kids who just went, well, okay, and you could throw anything at them, and they would excel. It's not because they're smarter than you. It's not because you're smarter than them. It's because they had control over the situation. They were prepared in a certain way that you weren't. There were certain resources there that you didn't have. And by resources, I mean there's information there. They knew how to execute that problem. And you didn't know how to do it so well. It's called learning, and sometimes it's hard like that. This is something that happens in many areas of life. many, many areas of life, especially money, actually. We see a lot of the times there'll be some news come over about something crazy, and you see people, the first thing they run to set on fire is their finances, and they don't understand why they lose all their money. This type of stress and this type of, I learned it from reading Tony Robbins' work, this unresourceful state where we could make decisions that right now they seem like the right thing to do. A couple weeks from now, they're not going to seem like the right thing to do. We're going to realize that we maybe shouldn't have done that, you know, and now we're playing cleanup. And I've met a lot of people who are playing cleanup in their lives all the time. And they're not stupid. If you're one of those people, you're not stupid. You're not weak. You know, I'm intense about certain subjects, but these are human things. These are human things that normal people do, okay? It's not about social class or any of those things. This is just normal human being stuff, okay? This is not the extremes. But before I get off track, let's get back to it. So, this is a state of mind that can happen. How do you become the person who doesn't get all shook up? How do you become the person who doesn't experience all this anxiety, all this stress, all this frustration? How do you beat times of uncertainty, like that final exam in high school or college, or an absolute disaster in your finances? Something comes up, someone gets sick, something bad happens. How do you become the person who stays calm and knows what to do? This is something that people really overthink and overanalyze, but I promise you it's very, very simple. But the first thing we have to understand is this. I'm not about being in denial and positive thinking. This is not an Instagram motivational post where we're going to talk about hippie stuff. This is where we're going to be real. And I'm going to tell you some things that right off the bat, they're either going to stop you from learning this and getting better, or they're going to really, really work in your benefit and you're going to get significantly better. And the first one is will. And by will, I mean quite literally, are you willing to get better at it? If I tell you something that you could try that might make you better, is the very first thing you're going to do, is it going to be all over again, repeat the emotional pattern? Oh, that's stupid. I'm not doing that. Well, you're already failing. You're already not getting better because you're not even willing to try to get better. And I can tell you, a lot of this stuff you probably heard before and you didn't try it then and you're not going to try it now. You're probably not going to try it. The first thing you need to work on is, are you even willing to be better? That's your first step if you're like that. Now, the next step is maybe you are like that or you've now become that way. Do you have the patience to practice this? Do you have the patience to, I don't want to say the ability, because you do have the ability, absolutely. You may not have the skill, but you do have the ability. Do you have the patience to put it into play in every area of your life? And I can give you some really common, it's actually kind of family friendly, really fun examples where you can put it to the test and see how resourceful you are, where you could practice this and you're likely to fail. You know, this is just like anything else. This type of thing is a learnable skill and you're going to struggle. You're going to have to practice. You're going to get it wrong more than you get it right at first. And you're going to have to pay your dues and do your time. And anywhere that you can practice it, you're going to be benefiting yourself a lot. And I'm going to show you some areas where even some of these, the top 1% of all these millionaires, these people, like, I'm going to teach you some things that I've seen people, you know, in that tier, in that tax bracket, in that upper class of society, I'm going to show you some areas where they screw up really bad because they're human beings just like you are. And I'm going to show you that you're not that much different from them. And it's pretty cool to, for me to have grown up and matured and gotten better, to have had the pleasure to get to be associated with a lot of people like that and get to learn from them and not just learn the things they do right, but learn a lot of the things they do wrong. And they're usually pretty open about admitting it too. That's the first thing, you know, that's that willingness to get better. You know, they'll admit that they're wrong about stuff, but anyhow, do you have the patience to struggle? Are you willing to struggle to make yourself stronger? Let me give you an example of struggling to get better. When you go to the gym, if it's not hard at all, if it's not a little heavier than you're used to, if you're just in there, if you put a feather in each hand and do bench presses, are you ever going to build any muscle? The answer is no. There's got to be some resistance there. It has to be challenging. It's going to be heavy sometimes. You know, you're going to be beat red in the face, giving it everything you got. Your arms are shaking. Your knees are shaking. It's tough, you know. Sometimes it's going to be very challenging, and you will fail. So are you willing, and do you have the patience? Those are the first two things. Now, the third thing is actually our first step towards really doing it. What kind of questions are we asking in life? What are we curious about? And curious is not a powerful enough word to say what I'm talking about. In 2020, bad stuff started happening. What kind of questions did you start asking? Because whatever question you asked, I mentioned this in a previous episode, when you start asking better questions, you start getting better answers. You start getting much more helpful, informational, educational, constructive answers because you're asking questions that will benefit you when you get the answer. What kind of questions are you asking? Now, let's say you don't really want to sit and think about all that. I understand. Nobody does. Everybody's sick of it. So let's make up something. Let's say you go to the bank and for whatever reason, it exploded, aliens came and laser beamed it to death and it's gone and all your money vaporized. What kind of questions are you asking? The first one's probably, well, what the hell am I going to do? Well, okay, that's a good question. What the hell are you going to do? Well, I don't know. What's the next question? What's the next question after that? Because what you start doing is in those moments, you're trying to gather information. You're trying to figure out what the hell's going on so you can figure out what to do. So you really want to make sure you're asking the right questions. Something I noticed the other day, well, not the other day, it was yesterday. Saturday. God almighty, too busy. I got too much crap going on. But something I noticed yesterday was they were talking about this stuff in South Africa where people are getting sick or whatever, and it's COVID. And I saw the original headlines. I was up very early that morning because I'm an active stock trader. And I saw the headlines come across. They said, oh, there's this new thing in South Africa. You know, there's cases. And I was like, well, okay. You know, I observed and I took that in. Well, all right. And it didn't take long, you know, and usually it's about 9 a.m. Eastern time, but I'm on Central time. So 8 a.m., I start seeing headlines. All of a sudden, and I mean, I'm talking in an hour's time, everybody's an expert. Everybody knows everything. It just hit the damn headlines an hour ago. Well, here's every detail going forward. Well, that's ridiculous. You don't know any more about it than I do, dude. Yeah, but they're reporters. So? Does that mean they never lie? Are they a saint? You know what I'm saying? They're competing with each other to get their story out there first. They're in competition. Back in the 50s, the news wasn't like this. You want to know why? Because there was only like two companies. There was like three news sources. It's competitive now. It was not competitive then. It was a monopoly back then, is what it was. Pick your poison. You know, do you want a monopoly or do you want, you know, this? Do you want competition? Yeah, you know, it's something that happens and it'll work itself out with time. It always does. But everybody was an expert. And it went from, literally, the headline said, there's no indication that this is a real problem yet. There's no indication that this is a real problem. We know it's there. And then, I mean, it was minutes later. Now we know everything. And it's amazing how at one time, I remember President Trump said, we're going to accelerate the progress of doing this and we're going to get it done in record time. Oh, that's stupid. That's impossible. You can't do that. And now the same people go, we now mastered it in 30 seconds. These are conflicting beliefs. It's emotional reactions. It's just you hate that. So just anything and everything, there's no rational thought. And we don't hate this, so now just we'll believe anything. These are emotional states. These are when we're not being resourceful. We're not looking to real information. We're not paying attention to what's right in front of our face. And in literally minutes, it went to people sold off their stock and immediately started buying bonds. And what's hilarious is if you go and you ask these people, why don't you buy bonds? They'll say, well, because it's stupid to buy bonds. That's what they'll say. That's a quote from Ray Dalio, the man. Everybody knows who Warren Buffett is. You should know who Ray Dalio is, too. Who do world governments go to for financial? They go to Ray Dalio. Yeah, there's one of those guys. He's the man. It's stupid to buy bonds. And then something happens in the stock market. A little bit of news. Nobody really knows what's going on. Nobody waited. Nobody said, okay. Well, I did, but nobody said, well, okay. Well, let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what happens. You know, we'll pay attention and we'll see. And they're like, oh, this is an area of concern. Clearly, I need to destroy my family's finances and go buy fucking bonds. Just an irrational state of mind. And then sure enough, they went back on all that attitude. And what you see is a transition from greed to fear. High risk, high reward to, oh shit, sell it all, no risk, low reward. Now, imagine if you never reacted to things like that. Imagine if you bought Apple for $40 a share forever ago. You've been through two recessions now, two bad recessions. And every little tick, you're like, it'll be okay. You never sold it all and made crazy decisions. Today, with Apple at $157 a share, you would own Apple at $30, $40 a share. Who's making more money? You or them? Because they own it at $161 a share, and now it's $157, and they're going to sell it all and go buy bonds. And then the bonds are going to change, and then they're going to sell it all and come back and buy Apple, and it's going to be $170 a share now. Who's making more money? You or them? This is the difference. This is the thing that separates average people, and I don't mean financially average, I just mean your normal human being with normal human being emotions. They think like everybody else thinks, you know, there's the herd mentality. And then the people who just seem to, they can take the heat, man. They can survive the storm. It's this emotional strength to not get all tore up about stuff, to wait, to take a minute and think about it. Now let's get back on track. You get what I'm saying. I know you do. If you don't, you can rewind it. How can we build on this? How can we work on this? I promised you a couple of exercises that'll help that are fun and family friendly. And you can really put this part of your mind to the test. How can we get better at not getting all shook up? The very first thing is be informed. The news is never going to inform you. I'm sorry. Okay. They're incompetent. What they're doing is about each other. NBC is putting out news with Fox on their mind. Or CNN puts out news and they're thinking about Fox. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking, how do we beat Fox? And Fox puts out news thinking about CNN. How do we beat CNN? And you think they're doing that for you. How do we keep you informed? They don't care. Okay, go pick up a copy of the National Enquirer next time you're in the grocery store. Tell me how similar all that crap looks. Okay. We want to be really, truly informed. So how do we be really, truly informed? First of all, we need to look at people who have this ability. And these are all sorts of different people. And you may find that there's some conflict of interest. You hate those people. You got to set that aside. That's an emotional state. They know some things. And if you would just give them the respect they deserve and go, man, you're very successful. You've done well for yourself. They might be a snotty, snooty prick, but they can still teach you how to do it. Is it worth making sure your children's children's children never suffer a day in their life? Would you swallow your fucking pride, even though you don't like that person, and give them the respect they deserve and listen to them to make sure your grandkids get to go to college and have everything you never had? Would you do that? And I know what you're thinking. You go, well, sure, of course I'd do that. Then do it. And do it now. Sometimes you look at things and you set your emotions aside. You say, and just because this is an emotional subject, I use this example, we've got to put it to the test. We have to practice it. Donald Trump filed bankruptcy a time or two. And I've read his books. I know why he did that. It was actually, had he not done that, he would have made less money. And it's a complex situation. But it was actually the smart business move because he ended up with higher profits having done that. And sometimes that's the thing. Sometimes refinancing your house, it looks like you don't have any money, but it's actually the smart thing to do, you know. But maybe you could read and go, how in the world does somebody go from a billionaire to $9 billion in debt, which is a special kind of broke? That's broke. That's not a billionaire. That's poor. $9 billion in debt is $9 billion below zero. You ever had your account 30 bucks in the red? His account was $9 billion in the red, or whatever the fuck it was. I don't remember. It was something like that. Then he became a billionaire again. Or it was 900, fuck it, I don't know. Go look it up. But it was however much it was. Then he became a billionaire again. Which means he had to become a billionaire to hit zero just to be broke with no money. Then he had to become a billionaire again to actually be a billionaire. Then he filed bankruptcy again. Or however the story goes. And then he became a billionaire. You see that and you're like, well, shit, how the hell did he do that? You know, I've struggled in my life, had my account $200 in the red, and I was in a crisis back then. Clearly, some people know how to handle that situation really well. So why didn't you see heroin junkie Donald Trump on TMZ, you know, in rehab, looking all sweaty like they do with all these rock musicians now? They look like they just came off of a meth binge. Like, why was there not all this stress? Why do you see him? He's pressed and dressed, looking sharp, you know? Interesting hairdo, you know what I'm saying? It's not always working out for him these days. But, you know, like, how? Because he knows what to do. Elon Musk, you know, he failed all those times before Tesla really stuck. He knew what to do. So we want to be informed. We want to be informed. We want to know what to do. So how much time are we using to learn what happens to the market? They say, oh, the stock market's down. Do you know what that means? Because I'm going to tell you, the stock market's down 4%. That happens all the time. And if you don't know that happens all the time, then you only hear about it once or twice a year when they put it on the news. So it seems like it's a big deal, but it's really not. I'm going to tell you right now, Tesla had all that momentum. It went up and then he tweeted something and it went down. Anybody who trades on a daily basis will tell you that it was going to do that, whether or not he tweeted that. Apple fell down a few percent the other day. And a couple of days ago, I was looking at Apple and I was like, you know, I need to be careful about buying, because I was going to average in. I was going to buy more shares of Apple myself for what I was doing, you know. That's not financial advice. You do your thing. This is just what I was doing at the time. And I remember I looked at the chart and I said, Apple's going to pull back to like $158. You know, like, it's when you've got all this momentum, it's going to pull back. You know, it will happen. People are going to sell some of it and they're going to take their profit and move on. And when that happens, the stock's going to go back down. And then there's a headline and then, you know, bam. And where did it fall to? It fell to right exactly where the chart said, right where, if you know what you're looking at, you could say it'll be in this area. It fell to $157. Did it quickly, too. So is the world crumbling into itself, or is this something that happens? Was it really? I've got news for you. There's no correlation between like something happening on the other side of the planet and you selling all your finances here on this side of the planet. Sometimes there's something that happens, but I mean, what if they reported on every bad thing that happened in Israel today or in Sudan or wherever? What if they told you every day what you're looking at is here's all the bad stuff that's happening in these places? Think about what your life would be like. You're like, man, the world's just falling apart. But they don't do that all the time. And I promise it's happening even though they're not telling you. You made a decision to sell off all your stock. And what you did was is you looked around for information. What do I do? And you found information that backs up this idea. I need to sell my stock. I'm going to lose all my money. However, if you ask better questions, if you were looking in different areas, if the quality of the question was different and you were saying, okay, has this ever happened in the past? Yeah, it has. 2020, 2008, and this isn't even that bad. This is a little tick on the chart. This is nothing. But let's look at the extremes. 2008, 2020. Okay, what happened? How did those situations end? Everything was fine. Okay, so we've got this little tick on the chart. We got some bad news. What do we do? Okay, well, it happened before and everything was okay. Doesn't change the fact that there's something happening. So let's wait. Let's not make a decision yet. Well, that's smart. Now you're thinking rationally. You're just a little bit better at doing this. Then you get a little bit more information. Well, how bad is it? Well, we don't know yet. Okay. Then let's wait some more. And right now, you're not shook up. People are freaking out, man, losing their mind. They're asking different questions than you are. That's what they're doing. And they're freaking themselves out. Oh, they know. How do they know? Who are you asking? Because I promise you, some guy who lives in a subdivision in the deepest, all the way back in the very back of the subdivision, he never sees the real world back there. He does not know more about it than you. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody texted him. Nobody sent him a DM and told him, and he's an insider and knows. He doesn't know any more than you. He's doing what you're doing. He's posting crap on the internet about it because he's reacting the same way you are. But we start looking for this information to get back on track again, and we find certain information. So when we start asking better questions, we start to wait. We start to look for more details. And you might even see, you're like, man, this is getting bad. This is getting bad. Is it getting bad? Or is what you're seeing is people are freaking out? If somebody has a heart attack in a crowd of people and they go down, you know, everybody starts looking, oh my God, clearly you're thinking, oh, this is really, really bad. Well, do you know it's really, really bad? Is it even a heart attack? Or did a bunch of people who are not doctors say it's a heart attack? This is why they say, stay calm. You could create a really bad situation and make it very hard to help somebody who needs help. You got to be cool. You got to be collected. Do you know what to do? What do you do in this situation? So we know to gather information about anything and everything. You know, if the house catches on fire, what do? You run around screaming, flailing your fucking arms over your head, screaming like a 3-year-old girl saw the boogeyman in the fucking closet? That doesn't solve anything. That's not what you do. If you don't know what to do, that might be what you do. So we want to gather some information, and we want to start to use the resourceful part of our brain. So here is an example. Here's an exercise, because this sumbitch is going to be long. I could talk about this for hours and bring it all together. But here's something that you can try. You can create a bad situation that's harmless, totally harmless, and practice this, and it's fun. And it teaches you to use the resources that you have. The things that you have, what will happen is your mind is going to look for ways to compare this to something else, and you're going to start to use resources in ways you never used them before, and you're going to correct the problem. Go to your coffee maker, and remember what I said, you have to be willing to try. That's stupid as fuck. You're right, it's stupid as fuck. Don't worry about it. You can't do it. To those of you who are willing, go to your coffee maker, take the coffee pot out of the coffee maker, put it in the sink, dishwasher, stick it in a cabinet, take it completely out of sight. Make a pot of coffee in that coffee maker without the coffee pot. Well, how the fuck am I supposed to do that? Exactly. It looks, hell, you can't do that. Well, I'll just stick a pot, I'll just stick a pan in there. Okay, stick a pan in there, make a pot of coffee. How would you do that? You're allowed to use anything in your house. Make a pot of coffee. And here's the kicker. It's not allowed to taste like shit. It can't be this horrible D-grade truck stop, they don't clean the fucking thing, nasty ass coffee. It can't taste like rubber bands and boiled asphalt. It's got to be good, okay? It has to taste like really good fresh coffee. You have to actually solve this problem, all right? Make a pot of coffee without the coffee pot. Really good fresh coffee. Actually solve the problem. Be resourceful. And see if you can do it. It's pretty impressive what you'll come up with. It's wild. Like you'll have like a knife sharpener, a can opener, a cooking pan. It's wild the stuff you're going to come up with. And if you can learn to build that muscle to where you'll come up with that in other areas of life, then when something bad happens, when all of a sudden this thing you're totally dependent on just, and it's gone, all of a sudden you start using your head. I can fix this. What can I use? What can I do right now? What can I do to fix this? And now your brain's looking for information. Let's see, what do we have that will fix this fucking problem? That's a good goddamn question. Now you're thinking. So give that a shot. Come up with other ways that you could do it. What if you had a tire that fucking blew and you had no lug nut wrench? That's actually a fucking really easy one, but I don't know. Come up with something. You've heard stories of people using a bobby pin to connect two wires, one of those little hair clip things or whatever. How resourceful can you be? That Apollo mission, remember? They fixed that damn thing with an ink pen. Remember that story? Totally screwed. You're fucked. Everybody's going to die. They saved everybody with an ink pen. You be cool. You think, what do I have right now that can solve this problem? Not kind of. Not sort of. We're not going to put some chewing gum on it. Not half-ass do it. What do you have that can fix this problem? And build upon that muscle. Develop that skill to be cool and solve the problem with what you have. Look at all the information. Sometimes if you break your coffee pot, you know, like did you break it? Or is just the handle gone? Like do you need the handle? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to think, how bad is it? But in the case where I say get rid of the coffee pot, there's no coffee pot. So you got to use your imagination. Give it a try. It's pretty wild. And what will happen is when you do that and you made a pot of coffee in a soup can with a freaking juicer and one of those cork for opening a wine bottle, one of them cork twisting motherfuckers, one of those damn things. You know, people would look at that and go, well, that's stupid as fuck. Well, you're the one with coffee. And that's the bottom line. You're the one with coffee. Does that make you a top 1% elite QAnon Illuminati secret society evil trying to destroy America? Is that what that makes you? No, it absolutely does not. You're not a tax evading monster, evil. Like, no, there's no new world order, motherfucker. You just knew what to do. You came up with a real plan and you executed that plan. And you weren't trying to be all cool about it and shit. You just made it work. So, I'm going to leave you with that. Something to think about. I have zero expectations for how many people paid attention, like always. But I'm grateful for everyone who decided to listen, if anyone. Take what I said serious. Take what I said serious. If you can't perform in little bitty, itty bitty, tiny situations like the coffee pot example, what are you going to do when you lose all your damn money, figuratively speaking? Because most of the time, that's not what happens. You're not losing your money, you know, till you do something crazy. You know what I'm saying? How can you perform in a situation where you need to not be irrational, not be emotional? How can you perform logically in that situation? Here's the hand you've been dealt. What are you going to do? Well, sitting there crying means you're not going to have no coffee. So that's not the solution. You got to really think, be creative, be resourceful, and use the more fun parts of the brain, right? Enjoy that. I hope you have a great day. I hope that helped. I hope that opened your mind up to some thought about some things. That's really my main goal. I mean, you have to practice it. You might fail. You might be sitting there going, man, I have no idea. That's okay. You could try again later. Maybe start looking up some ideas. You know, there's something to search. That's kind of fun. How do you make coffee without a coffee pot? Learn something new. Oh, wow. That's interesting. That's really creative. That's what we want to learn. So what do you do? How do you be more resourceful? But have a good one. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy it.